The good news comes among us according to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O God. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound the trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The Gospel of the Lord. Our church has a garden, a somewhat hidden garden. Most people who pass by our building don't even know it's here. And even those who walk right past it may not see it. You see this wall over here to your right? And you might want to move your bodies because I'm going to invite you to spend a little time looking in that direction. At one end, the farthest from me, there is an angel carved in wood so smoothly that I personally cannot pass it without wanting to touch it and caress its belly. And at the other end, my line of sight can't see it, but I know it's there. It's a shepherd wrought in metal that is having only moderate success hanging on to a lamb insistent on its own way. And then in between the shepherd and the angel hang two paintings, both by Carl Nelson. Quick sidebar about this painter. For her novel, The Giver, author Lois Lowry found in Carl Nelson, whom she knew personally, inspiration for the character, the giver, who in some future world purified of all emotion, served as the keeper of all the world's memories in order to be the sole bearer of all the emotional pain that memories contain. The painting with two figures depicts Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. The artist has melded the somewhat differing accounts of Mark and Luke with betrayal and arrest and crucifixion imminent. Jesus feels the need to pray, to talk with God. It's the evangelist Mark who tells us that Jesus goes to a garden to pray. And a version attributed to Luke reports that God sends to Jesus a messenger, an angel, to give Jesus support. Neither Mark nor Luke nor the artist portray a stoic Jesus, immune to emotion, resigned to his own death. No. Jesus prays and sweats and asks, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup." Now, the second painting back from that one shows the lifeless body of Jesus in the arms of a friend named Joseph of Arimathea, the friend who collected Jesus' body to lay him in his own tomb. And it is right there between those two paintings on the outside, opposite side of that wall, that there is a garden. Now the ground is cold and hard, but spring will come and flowers will bloom there. And I'm sure you already know this, but this word Lent, it's Old English meaning spring. And this garden that right now we can't see, but we know it's there. It's not just any old garden, one of the many green oases wedged between stacks of urban brick. It is a memorial garden, a remembering garden, a garden for ashes, the cremated remains of those who've died with a really soft spot in their hearts for this place and community. This stack of urban brick, which does bear the inscription at the corner of Winthrop and Dunster, "God is in the midst of the city." The last burial of ashes in the garden occurred just 3 weeks ago. Winter waited for Helmut Kester to die at the age of 89. And so the ground was opened easily. And after the funeral, after the reception and greeting of the family, we all went into the garden. And with a garden trowel, a very small shovel, Helmut's 4 grown children and his nearly grown grandchildren laid his earthly remains to rest there. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, in that garden. One of the grandchildren, the oldest, Christopher, waited to go last because he did not want to use the garden trowel. He wanted from the wooden box to take the last of his grandfather's ashes into his bare hands. And as Christopher, who is very tall, bent down with his hands filled, there was just enough wind to liberate some of the ashes, his grandfather's ashes, so that by the time that Christopher's hand reached down into the opened space, There was a thin coating of ash covering his trousers beneath the knees and his shoes. The grandfather's ashes coating the grandchild's hands and feet. Here, I'm not really so very hidden garden. For remembering that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. And such is the treasure, the gift that Jesus desires to give to us. For our holding with our bare hands, for wearing like a suit of clothes, for walking in like a pair of shoes, this treasure. A treasure designed for release, for letting go, a gift for which Jesus promises that a breath of the Spirit will be sent to help with the bearing of the weight, for ashes are never as weightless as they might appear. In the Gospel according to Matthew, designated always for Ash Wednesday, Jesus cautions his friends against displays of piety that are staged. For a clear picture of the kind of thing that Jesus wants to discourage, consider the displays of those who are seeking the nomination for president. Here is what Jesus wants for us, in here and out in the world, a safe space for honesty among friends, for honesty before God, messy, emotional honesty before the God who knows loss in every imaginable form as well or better as any of us. Whenever you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in heaven. That is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will listen. Can there be any greater reward? You have found your way here tonight. Please know that this is your room, your space, your garden. This is an open space. Yes, it's protected by a glass door, which throughout the day and into the night is locked. But do not be afraid. Come, ring the doorbell. More than likely, an angel is on hand to open, to answer, and to assure you that here you can rest. Here you can pray in peace. Here you are not alone. Also, keep in mind, as the letter of Peter would remind us, a church is not first and foremost a stack of brick. A church is a community of living stones. So even as you might seek sanctuary here for your rest and your renewal, do not be surprised if you are called upon by your neighbor to become a safe space, to become a garden for someone else. You, there, for them, a giver of refuge, listening ear, conversation, and rest. This is the calling that Luther referred to as being little Christs to one another. As Jesus died and was raised and is among us still, so too are we members of the body of Christ and called to be little memorial gardens for one another, holding open space for remembering that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. Amen.